Yeah.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Kevin Miller. This is the What Drives You podcast, where we focus on your drive. Your drive is working in some areas of your life, producing great success, yet in other areas, maybe not so much. Let's get clarity on what you value, what motives are helping and hurting you, and get you fully into alignment so you're driving further and faster and enjoying the ride. Why AI is causing a need for more coaches, guides, and leaders, and how you can capitalize. If you're listening to this show, I can confidently know that you desire to positively influence other people. That's a strong drive. And that's what real leadership is, whether it's as a parent, a friend, an employee, or a business owner. It's influencing, guiding, leading people. As you're about to hear, AI is taking over much of the knowledge work that's fueled our economy and our workplace for so long. But what does it open the floodgates for? Well, guides, leaders, coaches. I'm joined by Tom Ziegler. Tom is CEO of Ziegler, proud son of one of the world's greatest and most beloved leaders and influencers, Zig Ziegler, and my dear friend. This show started out as the Ziegler Show, if you weren't aware of that. Well, Tom and Ziegler have devoted themselves to equipping coaches. That's what they do. The business of coaching is in high demand. And as you're about to hear, it's just going to continue to explode. So Tom spends this hour or so with us discussing how we have left the muscle economy of old for the knowledge economy. And now as AI moves in, the emphasis goes to the heart and wisdom economy. You're going to want to hear this. The asset will be connecting with people and guiding them amongst all the questions and options of life and business. So tune in here and you'll learn what the opportunity is. That's the point. Now, we don't address it till the end of the show, so I want to point it out now, shameless promotion. Tom, Howard Partridge, the Ziegler family, they are hosting the 2024 Ziegler Coach Summit on May 30 through 31 in Dallas, Texas. That is 2024. They have some of the most incredible coaches there to invest in you, includes Kerry Wilkerson and Donald Miller, both who have been on the show here. I really encourage you to jump over to check it out at Ziegler, Ziglar, Ziegler.com/coach summit. You can go there now, consider attending that, Ziegler.com/coach summit. All right, I'll mention that at the end of the show again, but now join me as we jump in with Tom Ziegler to hear what the opportunity, the need is for coaches in this new economy that AI is shifting.
I'm a foodie and I enjoy learning about the process that brings great foods and beverages from idea to the table. And then I like tasting them and learning the nuances of what creates the most significant tastes. From coffee to cheese to distilled beverages. I did a tequila tasting in Mexico and recently bourbon, Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It really impressed me from the story to the taste. I grew up in Kentucky where horse racing and bourbon are famous, and I got introduced to Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It's produced by Heaven Hill Distillery, which has been and still remains family-owned since 1935, and I'm impressed with the bourbon's ultra-rich, smooth taste, and right on the bottle, it states that this bourbon is 7 years old, which is actually three times longer than what's required to be certified as bottled in bond. I feel with beverages, the longer the prep, the better the taste. Being a bottled in bond product means it must pass a list of 7 requirements that set the standard for this quality bourbon. So look for it at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely and drink wisely.
Tom, I got off the phone with a friend of ours, Rory Vaden, recently, and he was talking about some high-profile clients he talks about. He said, oh, you know this name for sure. And I don't. And they've got millions of followers. You know, it always blows me away that there are so many people even in this space. Well, so that's my analogy here, my preface, I should say, to there are so many topics to look at. And looking at AI, which I know is a priority issue for you, and we're going to address it today in regards to, you know, the current economy and for all of us, how it affects our lives, which is, you know, our drive. I'll tell you, and it is one I feel really ignorant in, You know, my team uses it. There's like video AI and they use that and produces stuff. Like, how did you guys have the time to figure this out? We didn't. AI did it, you know, and we use AI to do this and that. So it's being used in my business. It helps me make money today. And yet I know it's got a lot of people really concerned. And I sometimes look at it and go, should I be concerned? What should I be concerned about? So I'm having this conversation with you to educate me. So hit us at a high level of, yeah, what is it doing? To what do we need to be concerned about, and how can we utilize it? Or I don't even know the question to ask. Am I utilizing it to thrive in the new economy, or am I guarding myself and mitigating issues? I don't even know. Tell me.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I've been studying AI not so I can be the master of AI tools. There's a few that I use every day. But I'm looking at it from two perspectives. One is, in our world of personal development and performance and quality of life, balanced life, career success, there's a big issue coming, and it's a mindset issue. And I've probably asked this same question to 10 or 15 audiences of, you know, anywhere from 30 to 200 people. And the question is, it's kind of a two-part question. How many of you are nervous about AI? Like you're like, oh, it's going to take my job, or nefarious actors are going to use it to control me? Or how many of you are really excited about it? Like you see this as something that's going to help you grow and develop and make you more effective and create more of the things in life that you want. And it's like 70 to 80% kind of in that nervous range.
Okay.
Maybe 20, 30% are optimistic or positive. And a lot of people are playing the middle. Well, I'm excited about some things and I'm nervous about others. But I think if we made them pick which one it was, they'd be more nervous than they are excited, right?
Yeah.
And so why am I calling this a mindset issue? Well, things that we don't understand, that we fear, that we are apprehensive about, create anxiety, we tend to like put off and ignore. And we like keep it away from us. And so what does that mean? It means we get behind the curve. We, you know, the early adopter role, or understanding it right out of the gate, we lose that edge. And so Here's the reality. And this is a great quote. This is from, I'm not going to say her name right, Manoush Shafiq. She's the president of Columbia University. She's a distinguished global economist. And she said this: in the past, jobs were about muscles. Now they're about brains. But in the future, they'll be about the heart.
Right.
Okay. So this is counterintuitive. So what did she just say? So if you go into the article, it was in the New York Times. She said that AI is ushering in the heart and relationship economy. Well, what's our natural instinct? AI is going to eliminate people. What she's saying is this: follow this track. She's saying that for thousands of years, our economy was based on muscle and labor, right? It was the bricks we made. It was all physical. And then about 60 years ago, the brain economy came in, the knowledge economy.
Knowledge workers.
Yeah. And so what is a knowledge? You know, what's the knowledge economy? It's these tech companies that figure out how to collect data and then sift it to where they'd have an advantage in the marketplace. And so STEM came out of that: science, technology, engineering, and math, software programmers, you know, all these different things started happening. And so the economy shifted to this knowledge economy. And now she says AI is going to move it to the heart and relationship economy. Well, what does that mean? Well, this is what it means. Think about your professionals in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. Or let's make a really simple one. Your CPA.
Yeah.
Okay. We just did our taxes. Okay. So we put all our paperwork together and we fill out this questionnaire and I go down and I talk to my CPA, give him the details, and then he does all the work and then we get a bill and we pay our taxes. Well, whether it's next year or the year after that, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to get an AI form and it's going to ask me for my bank accounts and for my payroll history. And it's going to go research all that stuff, all verifiable. And near instantly and near perfectly, my taxes will be done. And so that's where the fear comes in, is everybody's like, uh-oh, if I'm a CPA, what am I going to do?
Right.
Well, what she means in that quote is that, let's look at salespeople. Right now, a corporate sales executive might spend 50% of their time prospecting, building proposals, creating presentations, doing research, and then 50% of their time making calls, going on site, talking to customers, you know, enhancing the relationship. Well, near instantly and near perfectly, all that research, all that proposal, all that presentation stuff, AI is going to do it in minutes, what took you half a day. So what does that mean? It means that we're going to have more time to build more and deeper relationships. So that's what it means by the heart and relationship economy. And so,
Well, I just say it reminds me. I mean, it has come up on podcasting. I've seen it kind of in the industry, and somebody talked about it once, and I thought, gosh, you know, to some degree, AI can go. They'll know everything about a person. Let's take a guest, for instance. They know everything, and they could have intuitive, insightful questions, you know, for that person. But, and this was me months ago going, but they can't connect. Can they really be curious and connect? And it reminds me of you talking about that. It's interesting to use the term of a CPA. One of my closest friends, I'm about to go on a mountain bike trip with him and some other guys, and he's a high-end wealth manager. So he takes people's money, you know, $1 million, $50 million, whatever, and he invests it. That's what he does for them. And he was talking at a recent gathering and he was saying, dude, AI is going to, you know, it's going to kill it as far as investments. I mean, it's going to be able to do the details, like what you talked about. It's going to be able to do the details of take your money, do it here and do some of that. But he says, what I do is I connect people to figure out what is it that they want? What are their values? What's important to them? And make that a part of the process. AI can't ever do that. So it brings me to thinking back to some degree, I don't know if it's fair, of like the soft skills, you know, that we used to talk about that aren't taught anymore, that somebody recently that I wish I could say who it was because I don't remember, but they said that it should be called the essential skills. And it is. You look at so much of the jobs out there and think, gosh, so much, yeah, a monkey could do it. And the people doing it often are not happy. They're not enjoying it. Yeah, give it to AI and over here, make us be humans. Is that fair?
That's fair. So let's go back to my CPA example.
Yeah.
So here's the bottom line. So I do my taxes on AI and then the IRS sends me a note and says, we need to talk. Well, am I going to take my AI in there with me to argue my case?
Yeah.
Or am I going to take somebody who I've built a relationship over time with, who's seen thousands of these examples? Because there's two things. So if you're riding down the road, listening to this or out exercising, here are the two things that you just repeat this to yourself. There are two things AI will never be able to do. Number one, AI will never have wisdom. Okay, now wisdom is a combination of experience and virtues. Okay, there's a lot of combinations, but that's the way I look at it, is when you see somebody who's wise, they're able to look at a depth of a situation in the context of a high moral standard or virtues. and say, well, this is right. And this is not right. And it's, so AI is never going to have wisdom. It's going to have a lot of knowledge. And right now,
I was going to say, it could recite wisdom, but it couldn't. Is it, would you say it can recite it, but it can't apply it?
Exactly.
Okay.
It's very suspect right now. I've got documented arguments with ChatGPT, not arguments, but I knew the answer to a question before I asked the question. And it took like 15 different ways of me asking the question for it finally to reveal what the truth was.
Hmm.
And the truth had to do with a bias that was built into it. And so it's not going to have wisdom, right? And I think it's going to get better, and it's going to be more accurate, and it's going to figure out, you know, because I asked ChatGPT one time, I said, can truth contradict itself? And it said, no, truth cannot contradict itself. So I think once it really learns that is a reality, that truth cannot contradict itself, it's probably going to self-cleanse some things because right now it'll give you an answer to A and an answer to B, but the answers contradict each other. So they can't both be right. Right. So number one is AI will never have wisdom. And number two is AI will never be able to build relationships.
Yeah.
Okay. So the reason I'm going to have a CPA is that CPA is going to have relationships with a bunch of people who can help argue whatever that case might be. Right. So that's what we got to do. So in the book, 10 Leadership Virtues for Disruptive Times, that was the case that I laid out in the book, was that if we're going to win, we have to have a heart-centered view, which is the 10 virtues. And then we've got to build incredible relationships. And to me, the number one skill of building a great relationship is the coaching skill.
Mm-hmm.
Great coaches build great relationships. I mean, that's just the bottom line. And why am I telling you that? Well, because of two things. A great coach, their motive is for you to win. It's virtues driven, right? That's the first aspect, the heart and relationship economy. So that's the heart. And relationships, I trust people who understand me. So what do coaches know how to do better than anybody? Ask great questions.
Yeah.
Why do people love their coach? Because their coach knows them. They have asked the questions. And so that's why I get excited about, I'm an optimist when it comes to AI. And I'm not saying there's zero chance that AI is going to do some majorly bad things. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if our mindset is right, if our goal is to, in whatever we're called to do, to make a difference in the lives of other people, then what we need to be thinking is how can I leverage AI to give me more time to build more and deeper relationships? So, you know, if let's say you do sculpture, right? Or you do clay models and then you do bronzes out of that. Well, that's a very hands-on job, right? But there's also, I've got to go and show my art. I've got to put it up on the website. I've got to do all that stuff. Well, if you could get AI to save you 5 or 10 hours a week on that stuff, and you spent the same amount actually doing the art, and then you spent that extra 5 hours you had building relationships in the art community, well, AI is a win for you.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think a lot of people, though, are scared of that. They're avoiding that, right? They're like, oh, no, I'm an artist. I'm a whatever. I work with my hands. You know, this doesn't really affect me. Wait a second. If it can help you build more and deeper relationships, I think you should take a look at it.
Thankfully, the days of building a business website, then having this massive endeavor to integrate an online store are gone. Today, Shopify has fixed all that. I had one business where we actually built the entire website on Shopify's platform. So whether you're just starting out or you're selling $1 million of product already, Shopify is just the industry leader. It works the same for physical products or online and digital, and Shopify is just hands down the best out there. Most importantly, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. It's 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Getting people to buy is not that hard, at least to the buying point, but getting them to actually give their payment info is, and Shopify is king in that department. They also have top-tier customer service, which I think is critical. You can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Kevin. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Kevin to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Kevin.
When we fast, we stop eating food and allow our body to repair. The research on the benefits and the reset is profound. The problem is we like food. We're addicted to food. Me too. Missing a meal or a day of eating is terrifying to a lot of people. So here is ProLawn. It's a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. ProLawn is not a diet. It's science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. ProLawn provides a 5-day program where you get snacks and soups and beverages all designed to keep your body in a fasting state while taking away the difficulty and mindset of deprivation. I've fasted for 5 days with nothing but water, and my physical and mental state was incredible. My struggle was just wanting to fulfill my habit of eating. It was significant. ProLawn took that away. It's amazing. I feel like I'm cheating, but getting the benefits of fasting. So right now, ProLawn is offering What Drives You listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. So go to ProLawnLife.com/Kevin. That's ProLawnLife.com/Kevin for the special offer. Friends, I'm pretty candid about my lack of financial prowess. Money and numbers are fairly Greek to me, so I need a lot of guidance. One of my closest friends is a wildly successful wealth manager, and I'm working on some financial literacy and just continually seeking guidance. So I ask you to check out yahoofinance.com. Nobody knows it all, and Yahoo Finance is an incredible resource for the rookies like me or the seasoned investors. You know, before my dad passed away recently, Dave Ramsey and his wife Sharon flew down to visit. We all got to spend a day together, and I was at yahoofinance.com just now. I saw multiple news flashes from Dave and other people that you respect, and they're hitting so many of the hottest areas in finance today. So it's a place to get a snapshot of all aspects of your financial interests, and if you have them, your portfolios. I hadn't realized Yahoo Finance is the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. So for your comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. One more time. yahoofinance.com.
You know, Tom, I saw on that note, I saw my kids were watching something and I cannot remember the name, but it was this kind of a magician guy. It was on Netflix, I think, watching this magician guy, and he was doing elaborate, you know, pranks or something. And they needed to make a mold of his face. And they're in Hollywood or something like that. And it shows, yeah, it used to be that we would do this. You know, you got to put a mold over their face. You got to do all this. You got to do this. Well, now the guy just sits in a chair, gets cameras from all these angles. And they, of course, do it with a 3D printer. And I'm looking and going, okay, there's a bunch of people who used to mess with, there's the company that made the molds, you know, there's some manufacturing place, and then there's the people who were artists and knew how to do that. They just got displaced. They're going to have to go do something different. So there's the reality of technology that we know that's been going on for years. You know, now here AI is going to come along and do a bunch of things. But I like that word, displaced. It's going to, that's what you're, I feel like you're saying, you're going to be, you're not out of job, but you're going to be displaced. That thing's not going to work anymore, but you can go over here. And yet it feels to me like an opportunity. Like I'm great. Let's be, you know, heart and relationship, but there should be cause for concern because where are we taught this? This is not in kindergarten. This is not in formal schooling, how to win friends and influence people. You know, the messages from see you at the top from Zig Ziglar. I mean, that stuff's not in school. You have to get that somewhere else. And so as you're talking about coaching, which I just immediately go to, you know, sales, I go to, relationship building, to leading people. I still, my favorite word is influence. We all, because you know that there's some people that go, well, I don't know if I want to be a coach. I don't know if I want to be a leader even. And yet, well, how about influence? You want influence? I've not yet met anyone who said, no, don't want to have any influence over. I mean, I don't care if you're a parent, if you're a friend, unless you're going to be a hermit and never touch people, you want to have influence. So what is influence? Well, it's heart. It's relationships. The other word that came up to me, which I know is one of your primary words, is trust. AI, I have no relationship to it in regards to trust. Well, I mean, I might trust the information, like it's technically correct. Facts. I trust it to give me facts, but it's not something that I build trust with. And to what you said too, it can only spit out a response in regards to my question. So I have to be insightful and, to use your word, wisdom, to be wise enough to know what questions to even ask. It's like a search engine. If you put in the wrong term, you don't get back what you want. So if you're back to that with a coach, with leading, with influencing people, we've got to learn to have the insight to ask the right questions in order to lead that person. Does that sound, am I tracking?
Absolutely. And you hit on kind of an interesting thought there. One of the most valuable job skills today is the ability to prompt.
Another way of asking questions. Keep going.
Yeah. Right? And prompt is simply a technical term for how do you ask AI a question?
Okay.
And so isn't it interesting that if you really developed a coaching skill, which is asking great questions, that you've actually gone a long way to making yourself effective and relevant in people relationships and in getting the most out of AI? Pretty interesting.
It is. And I mean, with the questions, that, I mean, I like the word insight. I mean, that's what comes to mind. You've got to have insight. I mean, me as a, you know, coach, I tend to call myself a consultant, but either way, I wish it was easy enough to where I could just have a set template of questions. All right, folks, if you got an idea and you want to make it into a business, I'm your guy. Let's meet and here are the questions. I mean, if I could do that, I could do it automatically. Just take my course. Here's my course. Go through the questions. You don't need to talk with me. Well, you got to talk to me because there's no set of questions that's relevant for the same people. It's different with every single person. It's so individualized to be able to, back to that relationship to connect. Well, which goes back to Zig Ziglar, your dad, in sales. You know, it's a transference of emotion. It's a relationship. It's a feeling. AI can't do that. So that gives us opportunity. Now speak to that. I mean, some people are going to feel like, okay, gosh, I hear you on that. And that's kind of scary to me because I'm not really a heart person. You know, that's not really my gig. I'm a tech. What do you say to that?
Yeah. So this is what's really interesting is, so there's a debate. Okay. And the debate is, well, gosh, AI can do programming and writing software near perfectly and near instantly, much, much faster than an old school programmer can. In fact, maybe 10 times faster. So the question is, well, what's human nature? is human nature going to be, well, you know, 10 times faster is good enough, so we need 1/10 of the programmers? Or are we going to have more programmers who are each doing 10 times more and 10 times faster than was ever thought possible, and they keep leveling it up?
Yeah.
Right. And so a lot of, I can't remember the economist I heard on this, but they said people just have an insatiable desire for more. Yeah. It's like,
yeah.
And so when you look at every leap, right, every technological jump, everything we've ever done, it's not that things go away forever. It's that they get replaced with whatever that next level is. And so, yeah, what if the mundane part of programming got replaced with, you know, AI and the creative innovation part? That's where all our time was spent. I was reading an article about when, you know, back in the days before the computer on the desk, most managers, they had an assistant who they would dictate to, and they would say it and they would write up their notes, right? And the rest of the time they were thinking, they were wandering around thinking about what we're going to do next, and they would come back and dictate something. Well, now the manager, when the computer got put on their desk, the manager took that job and started writing all their own notes and then limited their view of the world, because now I'm typing at 1/5 the speed of the person who was doing it all, and that was their job. And I'm locked in my office doing it instead of seeing people. And so to me, it's almost like when you think of the computers from a leadership relationship perspective, we took a step backwards because we got tied to the screen. Mm-hmm. And now AI is going to like reverse that back again. Hmm. Right? Where a leader can like go out and spend more time and then use AI to do all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, the two powerful things, you know, just to recap that is AI makes it easy to support those you serve. Like when you know what you've got to deliver, what value that client asks for, and you can use AI to help you with that, then it gives you more time to just have deeper conversations with them. Right. So instead of saying, can I come back to you in 3 days after I get all this work done? You can say, hang on just a second, and the work will get done while you continue the conversation.
Yeah.
Right. So now you got more time to build relationships.
Most of today, you will be indoors, likely your home or your office. I am as well. Even with my treks out into the woods, I spend a lot of time inside. And we're going to think about 20,000 breaths. According to the EPA, the indoor air is 2 to 5 times more polluted than the outdoor air, sometimes up to 100 times more polluted. At my studio, we have heat being forced through old ducts. I walk on carpet full of years of junk. No idea what's floating in the air that I'm taking constant gulps of. The solution is an air purifier, and Air Doctor is just the best. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold, bacteria, viruses. They do it so your lungs don't have to. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Go to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Kevin, and depending on the model, you'll receive up to 39% off or up to $300 off. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So to get this special offer, go to airdoctorpro.com. Use promo code Kevin, airdoctorpro.com, promo code Kevin.
So let me ask you, I was thinking about, let me see if I can make a circle here. If AI takes over things, it causes us, it makes it relevant for us to innovate. You know, if you're a tech person doing XYZ, AI can now do it. You're going to have to figure something else out. You're going to have to innovate. Well, so my first thought was, what about that too? Innovate. Does AI, let me just ask you, can AI innovate? Or is it just going to, it's going to do to whatever level it can. It's not going to innovate. Is that fair?
Yeah, there's a famous guy. He once said, he talked a lot about the creative imagination.
Yeah.
And he said, whenever you learn something new, it goes in, it bounces around all the other things that you already know, and it releases your creative imagination.
Okay.
And so I think what AI is, it's like we now have access instantly to so many relevant things we didn't know about, and we can ask great questions and we can get it. And so the innovation, I'm not sure if AI is going to be the innovator, but it's going to bring the innovator elements that allow our creative imagination to go to that.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. That tracks, because back to coaching, again, I'm going to call it coaching, leadership, influence, going back to that. If I'm working with you, Tom, if I'm your client and you're coaching me, I'm feeding you a lot of information. I'm looking for you to, I've never really thought about it this way. I'm looking for you to innovate. I'm looking for you to look at me, to look at, you know, because as a person, gosh, even as a coach. So here I am as somebody who gets paid to coach and consult. As you know, any good coach or consultant is also getting coached or consulted. Why? Because we don't know everything. One, and two, I so often can't see the forest for the trees in my own life. I can see somebody else's stuff. I can't see my own. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody. I feel like sometimes I'm more of a greater capacity to help innovate in somebody else's life than my own, because I get stuck in my own stuff. I have blinders on more so with myself than I do with somebody else. But as a coach, I am there to help innovate in somebody's life. I mean, I feel like I've seen some of the wisest people who struggle to innovate in their own lives, and they need outside help. So if we can use AI to help us innovate, but that's what we're doing in somebody's life as part of the heart and relationship. Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever done this? You're coaching somebody and you give some advice and then you're like, I need to do that.
Well, yeah, I don't want to admit. No, Tom, I've never done that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. 100%.
I did that right in my book. I love, there was somebody that said that. I quoted it. I can't remember who it was. And they said something like, oh my gosh, I'm reading my book and I'm learning so much. I need to actually use this. I write better than I actually live. Yeah.
And so I think the challenge is that people, what holds people back foundationally, fundamentally, is belief in self-image.
Okay.
So their belief in who they are and what they're capable of has a cap or a limit on it.
Yes.
Right. And their self-image is, I'm an imposter. I'm not worthy. You know, I can never do that. So these two things are battling all the time. And so what a coach does is basically gives people permission to do what they know they should do anyway. Dad said, he said, never give a promise without a plan. And this is like the challenge with our industry, the personal development industry, is that you hear all this motivation, you hear all this hope, you hear all this inspiration, you can do it. And then people run out there and they got the book, but they got no plan.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I love coaches. Because when you coach somebody, you bring the hope. You kind of uncover through great questions what that person's heart desire is, what it is they want to accomplish, where their obstacles are in every area of their life, in their career, in their health, in their relationships, whatever you're working on with them. And then you're like, okay, what's the plan? right? And so we get into this co-creation of a plan. And I call it co-creation simply because a great coach is asking the questions and then the person is like creating their own plan. So something interesting happens when somebody has success or they make progress. The coach can then point out their track record. Hey, look at how much you've grown. Mm-hmm. Look at what you've done. And so that's a leveling up. And so, well, isn't that what every relationship is supposed to be like? I mean, every time I speak now, I tell people, hey, everybody in this room, you need to be a coach, right? Everybody in this room, you need to learn how to coach yourself. You need to learn how to look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself the questions that allow you to grow, to focus on the things that are taking you to where you want to go, right? And then be really aware and honest with the things that are holding you back that you have a choice over. You can let those things go. And then the second thing is everybody here needs to be a coach because your kids need coaching, your spouse needs coaching, your friends need coaching, your coworkers need coaching, the people at church need coaching, the people you ride Harleys with need coaching. And here's the good news. You don't even have to let them know you're coaching them.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll think you're the greatest relationship human on the planet because all you're doing is asking them questions that help them see better what it is that's important and whatever they're trying to do. And then there's a few who I'll say, hey, you know what? Maybe your heart is bent this way. Maybe your greatest joy is helping someone else be, do, and have more than they thought possible. Maybe your greatest joy is pouring into somebody as a coach. You might want to consider that as a profession, as a career, as something you do. But to me, the answer is whoever you are, you need to be a coach.
Mm-hmm.
You teach a 8-year-old how to ask questions. Look out. What's that? I said 8-year-olds are already good at asking questions, but you validate in them that it's a good skill to have, right? Somehow along the lines, we get told, hey, don't be intrusive.
Well, and we get that concept. I still feel people get caught up in a coach is you've got to have all this knowledge and you keep coming back to these, to asking the right questions. I remember that, Tom. I'll never forget when I had my first handful of coaching clients and I found myself asking questions because I didn't have all the knowledge for them. You know, they may be in an arena that I was not totally familiar with. Now I may be able to help them go out there and create a face and a brand for being an influencer, but I don't know their industry. So I'm asking a lot of questions and I'll never forget the first person. And at some point they responded back to me with this great testimony of how it helped them. And I felt kind of guilty, Tom, kind of back to the imposter syndrome. Cause I thought, I didn't tell you anything. All I did was ask questions. You talked the whole time. And there's your point of asking questions. I like the term guide as well for a coach. You know, people have baggage around words. So words are important to me. So that's why I keep coming up. Are you a salesperson? Are you an influencer? Are you a coach? Are you a guide? They're all semantics somewhat, but they're important. So what's the one that fits for you? I tend to refer to myself somewhat as a guide. And I find myself looking for guides more than ever because, and this is something that I feel like maybe AI is, you're probably going to tell me, Tom, AI is causing the need for more coaches and guides because it just expands everything to me. I mean, it's just, everything's infinite and it's overwhelming. And I feel like the areas that I used to even think that I was good at and I participated in, I just feel out of my league now. I just don't know. Even with like marketing in certain areas, it's so specialized. You know, where are you going to market? Okay, I'm going to market on Instagram. All right, then go pay an Instagram market. There's no way you can figure it out. You're so far behind the curve on being at the cutting edge of all these things. You're going to have to go hire somebody, or you should go get a guide there. Well, back to this. So here we are, and people hear these, you know, you talked about personal development, this industry, self-help, self-improvement. It feels like it is going to do nothing but grow because, as you're saying, that's where opportunity is. And if you're not in that, you might be overtaken by AI. But here we are, and yeah, I feel overwhelmed. So everywhere I'm reaching out to a guide, it feels like an age of specialization. Just like doctors, you don't go see a family, or just you do see a family doctor, but you don't see them for everything. If anything, you may see them so that they can say, okay, I'm referring you. It feels like that's half of what, if not more, of what a family doctor does now. They just hire you out or refer you out to the specialist. You need to go see a podiatrist. You need to see an optometrist. You need to see a cardiologist. You need to see a whatever. And they're helpful and funny. That feels like sometimes as a coach, I feel like that's what I'm doing. I'm not the specialist in every area, but man, just to figure out what on earth you even do know, you come get audited somewhat. Let me understand what's going on. Ask the right questions, see where your needs are and guide you in the appropriate direction. And AI with the continued expanding, more people, I feel like more and more, they're deer in the headlights. They don't know where to go. They need guides. Yeah.
Yep. I agree 100%. And I'm going to expand on the metaphor and I'm going to make the functional medicine doctor the hero.
Good call.
Yeah. So medicine today in general, from a big pharma, you know, institution thing, it's about fighting the smoke.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
the symptoms. Yeah.
A good doctor, like a functional medicine doctor, will move through the smoke to find what the where the fire is. Let's address the fire. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's what a coach does. Is a coach, somebody's going to come in and they're going to say, well, I've got this problem in this area. Can you help me? And okay, well, yeah, let's look at that. Okay, well, why is that way? And what led you to that choice? And why did you position this? And all of a sudden, the smoke was the problem they came in for, but the coaching's around the fire that created the smoke in the first place. So when you go to AI, you're fighting smoke, right? You're getting solutions for smoke, and you need a wisdom to address the fire.
Yeah.
And so what I'm telling people is, you know, be the sage, be the person in your category that has the wisdom, so that when the smoke starts to appear and people come to you, it takes great relationship skills, right? It takes trust to ask somebody kind of personal, intrusive questions to reveal what's really going on. And then it takes a great relationship over time to really address it and work on it, create that plan. And so the virtues and the relationship, those are the things. That's the wisdom that takes us to the fire.
It's interesting as you talk about that. When I think of coaches I've had, consultants, guides, therapists, even, I was trying to think as you're talking, do I have any of them that I cite as going, aha, I figured you out. I know the problem and I know the exact solution. I've never had that. I've paid who knows how many tens of thousands of dollars for guidance. And I've never had somebody do that. They just figure out what are the questions. And to some degree, you know, the answers, I don't know if is that fair to say the answer is usually within us and they're just trying to unearth it. I mean, I'm the one to figure out the solution, but they're the ones to guide me past the obstacles. And it's interesting, Tom, I had somebody that I'm so grateful for. If I can say it in all humility, I'm so proud of it too, that they said, Kevin, you're so good at helping remove the real and perceived obstacles. Well, I love that perceived one because the real ones, you know, it's the, those happen, you know, here's what I want to do, or here's what I'm interested in. Okay. Here's a real obstacle. Okay. How can we get past that? We know that. That they said the perceived obstacles is how many of them are not real obstacles. And again, getting help. And again, I'm saying that, and that's what I find myself needing for my own progress. I don't care where it is in my life. I don't care if it's relationship help that I need help with, if I need health and wellness with a functional medicine doctor, if it's financial help, I need somebody to help me. I see the real obstacles, the tangible ones. I know those. The ones I don't usually know are the ones that I perceive that aren't really. And that is, I mean, again, so coming back to the coach, it's not having all, it's not having all the knowledge. Is that fair? You don't have to have all, then to your degree, you're saying, yeah, I got AI, man. I can use AI. I don't have to have all the knowledge. This is like, what's the old story, Tom? It was like Henry Ford or somebody was, somebody accused him of being dumb or something because he didn't know X, what, you know, this story. Do you know who it was? You probably know the details.
I don't.
Accused him of being dumb because they didn't know X, Y, Z. And they're like, why would I waste time on having that memorized when I can go open a book? I'm going to put my efforts in. Yeah.
They asked Einstein, what's your phone number?
Oh, okay.
And he said, why would I know? Why would I? You're so dumb. You don't know your phone number. And he said, why would I want to know my phone number? I know where to find it. I don't want to clutter my brain with things I don't need to know.
Thank you. That was it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So with this in mind, Tom, with the aspect of, you know, this is not about knowledge. It's not about necessarily, here's the textbook of the question of exactly what to do in a coaching thing is, because you at Ziegler, I mean, I know that's like the primary thing that Ziegler does now is equip coaches. Is that where the equipping is? And here's how to connect. Here's how to build trust. Here's how to, I don't know, to guide your insight into understanding what questions to ask. Tell me how it happens.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many people who they just have this, it's for lack of a better term, it's like a calling, right? They've heard about coaching. They're digging into relationship skills and they want to take their career or their life even to the next level. They just get a great deal of joy out of helping somebody else, right? To help somebody else get clarity. And what's interesting is it's kind of like when you do that, you get clarity on your own, right? The more you like study this, you know, one of the things I say is you cannot give something you don't have. And so if you're going to dedicate your life to something, you know, why not being an expert in asking questions and building relationships and living out virtues? I mean, you do those things, you know, life is still going to happen. The wind is still going to blow. The rain is still going to come. But you're going to be in a different place when that happens. And so that's what we do. And we do that in several ways. One of the things I'm really excited about is we have our coach summit coming up and we get a bunch of coaches together and a bunch of people interested in learning more about becoming a coach. And the cool thing is the people who are just thinking about it, they get to talk to all the coaches who are doing it. Mm-hmm. And community is powerful. So that's why I study this. Cause we were talking before we got on a great speaker, a great preacher will communicate a timeless message in a timely way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so here we are on the threshold of, I think, the biggest change in the way we do life, because AI is going to affect our business. It's going to affect our personal life. It's going to affect how we use our time. And so the question is, are we going to be centered on the things that really matter? And at the end of the day, what matters? It's heart-centered relationships. So if AI is ushering in the heart and relationship economy, let's do what Wayne Gretzky said. They asked him, what makes you the greatest hockey player or the great hockey player that you are? And he said, I skate to where the puck is going to be.
Yeah.
And so that's why I get excited about what we do, because the timeless things that we've always taught haven't changed, but the necessity and urgency and even the impactfulness of what we've always taught is only going to increase with all these changes that are coming.
Yeah. One last thing I want to point out on this. And as I was at one of the Ziegler events with you leading and it was, you know, equipping coaches. And I expected, you know, everybody there is, they do coach or they're wanting to hang a shingle out and go create a business. And how many people that I met that weren't, they're not looking for, they're already doing what they want to do. And they're in an organization, whether it's a business that they own, a ministry that they're in, some organization, and they just want to lead people better. They just want to influence better. They just, again, to use those different words, they want to guide people better. And they were there to be equipped, and they were thrilled at the equipping that they got, even though it wasn't necessarily that they wanted to go out, like a lot of people do and are being equipped to go out and become a professional coach, or to, you know, expand and grow and progress in the coaching business they already have. So I want people to hear that, because it's for, yeah, anyone who wants to lead well. Well, hey man, thanks. I feel guided. I am further equipped in AI. And it's probably one of those areas. Yeah, because I probably fit into, as you talked about, I'm probably one of the 70% that's kind of nervous, kind of wondering, I probably should know more about it. I don't know that much. So thanks for opening my eyes.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, brother. Well, friends, thanks for joining me on this journey. I hope it was informative and equipping. And you got a lot of value just right from there. Now, if you want actual help with your coaching business, becoming a coach or increasing and expanding your coaching, your influencing, your guidance in your leadership, again, May 30 through 31 of 2024 is the 2024 Ziegler Coach Summit. It's in Dallas, Texas. Again, just incredible. The whole Ziegler family, go to the website and check it out. But Kerry Wilkerson and Donald Miller are tremendous. They're both worth the price of admission. Though Tom, you're not going to get any better than him. Howard Partridge is there. So many great people, the whole Ziegler family. Go check it out at Ziegler, Ziegler.com/coach summit. Ziegler.com/coach summit. Hey, until next time, thank you for joining me here. And I hope this episode helped you drive further, and enjoy the ride. Thanks so much for joining me on this journey. I look forward to meeting you in the Drive Tribe community for ongoing discussions about each episode. You can subscribe to the Drive Drop newsletter for weekly updates. Find it all at kevinmiller.co, along with all our social media and video clips. Until next time, I hope this episode helps you drive further and enjoy the ride.